Time for another Zoomer on the Midweek Drive for Siren Radio and southsidebroadcasting.podbeam.com. Keeping the COVID-19 bugs at bay.
As one of my favourite actresses is the legend from Raiders of the Lost Ark, and indeed Starman, Karen Allen, and indeed one of our regular Midweek Drivers used to be Karen Malherchik. I was quite shocked by the next item, which suggests that Karenophobia is a genuine problem in terms of society, etc. Is this a case of another case of woke prejudice that's opening up in all sorts of other areas? Who knows? Probably the best person to actually address this, though, is the wonderfully talented Hayden Scott. How are you, Hayden?
I'm not so bad. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. And obviously not called Karen, but this survey in terms of Karenophobia, a term which apparently has gained momentum. I don't know. I thought we were having a pandemic. I wasn't sure Karenophobia was actually taking place as opposed to COVID-19. What is this all about?
Well, I mean, 2020 brings up surprises for you. So Karenophobia is kind of turned into a real thing. So it started off as just an internet meme that, you know, got a few chuckles here and there, but it's now kind of gone into the real world for real Karens that exist everywhere, unfortunately.
I mean, you could have Haydenophobia, you could have Alexophobia. There could be also, I mean, the possibilities in terms of discrimination can be endless, really. I mean, you know, goodness me, this just sounds astonishing. I mean, apparently it refers to a specific type of middle-class woman who exhibits behaviours that stem from privilege. Now, you're probably too young to remember the Sloan Rangers, but that was a generic term that was given to obviously citizens of a certain part of London who like to drive the equivalent of Chelsea tractors, etc. Obviously, Hooray Henrys was another one, but Karens? It just seems unusual.
I mean, an interesting one. I mean, I actually know that it started from a woman called Karen in America, and it just took on a life of its own. But we actually did, I mean, this is surprising, but we did a 1,000 people research study on what they thought of the name Karen. But when you've got almost one in five Gen Z saying that they would feel uneasy if their mother-in-law was called Karen, like, I mean, what on earth? Like,
yeah, I mean, mother-in-laws clearly have had a little bit of a challenging press over the centuries, not least of which is obviously due to comedians who've been using the mother-in-law challenge from that point of view. But again, tying this in to a specific individual, I don't know. I mean, you know, you mentioned stemming from America, of course. Technically, I suppose it would be Generation Z for Americans as opposed to Generation Z. Otherwise, we'll be accused of Zedism. But that's another line entirely. But this line, I mean, I could understand if it was possibly a Kimphobia, as in Kim Kardashian, but it's not Karen Kardashian. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not sure whether we're going to be joined by an actual Karen on the call. We'll wait and see. But in terms of that whole sort of sequence, you know. Is it just a case of we need to in a sense, acknowledge that it's not the name, it's the individual? I see that 45% don't even know anyone calls Karen. So as a result of that, just imagine if you're going for a job interview and you've got somebody who's called Karen who kind of turns up, you might not even reach the stage of interview.
I mean, exactly. And those are the kinds of things, of course, that we wanted to address. I mean, we personally, you know, being the Fair Casino, it just didn't seem very fair that just because you were born a Karen, you know, people were going to smirk at your name or see you, for example, going for a job interview and just think, oh, she's a Karen. Not sure. It just, yeah, it's got a little bit too far. I mean, we've all kind of had those little jokes that we've shared with people, but obviously the power of the internet has just completely blown this one to something huge that I don't think anyone expected. I mean, I've got Karens in my family and friends, and even then when I mention this, you know, they roll their eyes and just go, well, yeah, I've had that.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, I mean, again, you talk about humour. I mean, let's look at one from my own point of view, Lefchuk. It's got Polish origins. So there is the classic line about the Polish chap who goes to the optician. The optician asks him to read the bottom line. He says, read it, I know him. And so it goes, you know, in terms of the CZs and various other bits and pieces. But as you say, mate, yeah, I know, it takes time before you actually get it, Hayden. It's a Zoom link. I appreciate that. It's the sound of tumbleweed going across the airwaves. however, as we mentioned, you're head of Fair Play at Play Ojo, and you are actually striking back in terms of addressing this phenomenon of Karenophobia.
Yeah, exactly. But being the Fair Casino, what we do is we like to look for things that are lighthearted and problems in the world that we can address. And obviously 2020 has been an interesting year, to put it mildly. We saw, of course, these memes, and we've all, you know, got these go on our Facebooks or whatever we use. And we just thought, you know what, this is getting a little bit spiteful. And we wanted to make sure we gave something back. So we know from our research that a deed poll costs about £14. So we're offering £14 on the casino for you to do whatever you want. You can cash it out because we're no wagering. The money is yours. Or you can play it if you want to. It's entirely up to you. But we wanted to give something back so that there was a little bit of joy for the people called Karen.
You see, I could understand once again if there was a certain amount of negativity if you happened to be christened Adolf or possibly Saddam. I can see sort of issues maybe coming across in terms of slight concerns there. But as far as I'm aware, unless I've been living in a completely different dimension, Hayden, there's never been a kind of world a leader or indeed a dictator. I mean, you know, Donald, for instance, arguably could be a sort of questionable name at these particular stages, apart from the fact that Mr. Duck obviously would be very upset about that. But, you know, surely Karens have never actually been responsible for the malevolences of mankind, or are we suggesting that it might have been Karen who actually is responsible for coronavirus? They both begin with K or C founding way letter.
I mean, who knows? There could have been kind of Karen as, you know, Karen Zero. We have no idea.
Well, exactly. Karen the Bat, you know, happily minding its own business in a wet market, allegedly, in certain parts of the country, and who knows what could actually happen. Let's speculate from this point of view. We start the campaign to actually restore the positivity of Karens in the world. And again, this £14 credit that Play Ojo is actually offering will be part of that. However, how can people get in touch with Play Ojo to find out further details about what we've been chatting about today, Hayden?
So what you can do is you can go to playojo.com/blog/Karen, and you'll get loads of details on there. It'll give you some interesting facts about the name Karen, as well as you can see the research for yourself that we've put on the site. And it explains on there that all you have to do is go and register your account, and then once you have done it, just go to our live support and say, "Hi, I'm Karen," and they will do it for you.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my head around the notion of 1 in 5 16 to 24 year olds in the UK would feel uneasy about entering into a relationship if their partner's mother was called Karen. That's the one. I mean, surely you're not entering into a relationship. I mean, you are after a fashion, but I mean, surely the person that you care about is the person you're entering into the relationship with, not just because they happen to have a mother-in-law called Karen. I mean, one's almost tempted to use the William Shatner line, "Get a life, people."
Well, yes, we could Shatner most things in life, but yeah, I mean, I think a few of course the answers and things that you get in here are a bit tongue-in-cheek from maybe some of the responses, but I mean, the Karens that I know are all very, very lovely, and I mean, you could have people throw strops, of course, who are called Bob.
I would blame Twin Peaks clearly for Bob, because clearly that sort of set all sorts of things down. And you've got Box of Broadcasts, you've got all sorts of manners with respect to Bob. And let's not get started about builders, because that could open up a whole new world.
I mean, exactly. I mean, and just, you know, managing to, you know, link this back to fairness so that Karens feel as though they actually got something out of having a slight raw deal. I mean, the £14, of course, it's no wagering. So you don't even have to go through that. It is
exactly. Hayden, I think you've actually nailed it from that point of view. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic Zoomer with us today? Has it been okay for you, sir?
I mean, working from home, I mean, I live on Zoom, so it's just a standard day for me in the life of 2020, but it's nice to meet you, of course.
Exactly. So again, the critical routine is, can we prevail upon you to maybe join us again in the not-too-distant future? Will you return?
I would absolutely love that.
Hayden Scott, Head of Fairness at Play Ojo. That's OJO. Many thanks indeed.
All right, you have a good day, everybody.
Back in the halcyon days of January 2019, when life was a lot simpler, we were delighted to welcome to the Midweek Drive in our studio live package the awesomely talented creator of The Prodigy and more, of course, Tosca Lee. Since then, of course, things have changed. But thankfully, the one thing that hasn't changed has been the absolute quality that New York Times best-selling author Tosca brings to her work. She's not only won one international award, she's won two international awards for the pandemic duology that she produced long before COVID-19 even reared its head. And so we say a hearty welcome to the aforementioned Tosca Lee. Welcome back to the Midweek Drive, Tosca.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's a delight to have you back on board. I was actually listening again to your debut on the programme, I'd say, back in January 2019. And actually on that show, you were followed telephonically by Robin Pierce, who's now actually in the same show with you, really. So it just is that magic.
Wonderful. No.
We can use the technology to bring people together.
I love it. So
moving on from that, also you're based in Nebraska, is that right?
I am. I'm in Nebraska, right in the middle of the US.
And there's no coincidence whatsoever that Nebraska is the location of the latest DC Universe character of Stargirl. I've got to ask the question before we start talking about the line between and other sorts of systems there. Is everybody in Nebraska, Tosca, as friendly as they're portrayed in the series Stargirl? When you go walk out, obviously with your face mask and all the rest of bits and pieces, do people greet you?
Pretty much. I mean, it's a very friendly state. We're known for being friendly here, and we're really, really big on American football here, which sadly we won't be having this fall. But even when the opposing teams come to play us, the comment is always that the Nebraska fans are always so welcoming and kind. So,
yep. There we are. Nebraska, clearly the place to go, and not to be actually confused with Siberia, which one or two critics actually said. You know, it's Nebraska, not Siberia, which is really important. Okay.
Can I just ask Tosca a question here?
Sure.
You come from Nebraska. Now, we know that, a group of people from California, Californians, New York, New Yorkers. What's the collective for people from Nebraska?
The Cornhuskers.
Wow.
I thought that was just like a nickname.
Well, we are Nebraskans, but we're so well known for football here that we are the Cornhusker State, and we're known as the Cornhuskers, which is a great improvement over what we used to be. Everything's based on football here. But our team used to be called the Bug Eaters. Cornhusker is better.
And of course, good news is, unlike the Washington Redskins, you don't have to lose the Redskins because you're already sort of ready for the 21st century, which is great.
That's right. Corn husking is always a good thing. So
exactly. We'll be fighting for more corn huskers in novels. Let's move on to A Single Light, a gripping sequel to The Line Between. New York Times bestselling author, of course, Alex Caver, called Everything You Want in a Thriller. It's the sequel, of course, to The Line Between. Tosca, share with us how you had that prescient power to actually predict what the world's going through all those months ago.
Yeah, I don't know. That is, of course, a really weird and sheer coincidence. And, you know, these pandemic books were actually based on real headlines about a disease coming out of the melting permafrost. So, that is coincidence, but I may still hedge my bets and base my next novel on the story of an author who wins the lottery, just in case.
Yeah, that works from that point of view. Again, congratulations, certainly, on winning not just one, but two awards. I mean, again, proving that quality is there. Robin, have you got any initial questions you'd like to put to Tosca about life, the universe, and so on?
Well, the first thing was hearty congratulations on two awards. I mean, one, okay, that's impressive. Two, now that's just showing off.
It is a very weird year.
When real life seemed to take that skewed turn into the twilight zone of imitating essentially your art, how amazed were you? How did you feel? Because not only are we talking a pandemic here, we're also talking about a cult, which is a word we hear very often used with followers of your president. You've got a double header going on here as far as the watching world is seeing the United States.
Well, let me just say that this entire year has just been really strange and very surreal. And I mean, between the pandemic and murder hornets, we had murder hornets here in the U.S.
Oh, we heard about those.
Yeah. And now terrible fires and all those things. So it's just been a really strange year. It was very weird for me when in the book, there the first hotspot happens in Washington State. So when that outbreak happened in Washington State here, in real life, that was definitely really weird. And then, you know, when you research these things, you're basically just going off of common sense and all that kind of thing. And so in the book, there's all these edicts to stay home. People start using hand sanitizer, wearing masks, that kind of thing. And it's just been really weird to kind of watch that become now part of our normal everyday, you know, new normal, I suppose. So it's definitely strange.
Effectively, it was one of our midweek drivettes who actually was in Seattle, and in Seattle, who actually they had the first ever case, ever recorded case in the United States.
And yeah,
we thought we'd head on to that side of things. We spoke, as I say, back in 2019 about the Progeny. How's that developing, or is it a case of no? I've put the Progeny to one side now. I'm now focusing very much on the next sequence of the Line Between and the Single Light. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my focus this last year has been on talking about the Line Between and a Single Light. The Progeny is right now in the hands of our TV series team and our developers. And of course, things have slowed down a little bit. Things have slowed down a lot in Hollywood right now. But we're really excited to see where that goes as things begin to, you know, slowly move forward again. So I'm not the one working on it, other people are.
the great news, of course, being that, I mean, it impacted so much on your debut on the program that not only did Eloise Sheehan actually download the copy straight away and started reading through the text, etc., but Robin already sort of agreed he had the right soundtrack, musically speaking, to actually go with it as well. Ooh. For one of our other sort of scenarios. So just goes to show, time is an illusion. You know, it may have
That's
been
right.
January 29, and now here we are approaching September 2020 or August 2020. It just shows that all the things conflate together.
Absolutely.
Let's talk a little bit about the plot line. Obviously, no spoilers, but a plot line to The Line Between and a Single Light. I mean, we'll identify it's about a pandemic, etc. Talk us through the characters of Winter and Chase.
Yeah, so Winter is a 22-year-old young woman who, at the beginning of the book, is leaving, getting kicked out of a doomsday cult on the American prairie next door in Iowa. I put all
that
the cult
that was really
in
sad,
Iowa.
If you joined a doomsday cult, you would have thought, surely this is one cult that I'm going to be part of. But to actually be booted out from that, it's
tragic. And then to be booted out of one of those and make it out alive.
That's part of the story. So there's a whole series of events that led to that. But the unfortunate thing for Winter is by the time she gets kicked out, this disease now is gaining momentum and spreading across the nation. And for Winter, it looks a lot like the apocalypse that she's always been taught was coming. And so it's really frightening, especially though when her sister shows up at the new place that she's staying with a set of medical samples that may have something to do with the disease. And so now Winter's involved and she actually has a hand in the events that unfold towards hopefully finding a vaccine, which is another very weird thing, is we are racing towards trying to find a vaccine these days to watch all that unfold.
Don't worry, Tosca, Vladimir Putin says he's already got one, you know.
Oh, so that's right. I forgot.
I forgot.
That's right. And the Russians are involved in this story,
as we speak.
Yeah, that's right. I'm not worried at all.
Excellent. I mean, in terms of that, I mean, I must admit, thinking about people's fears, before we actually came to you today, I did a feature on what I thought was a very unusual phenomenon, but this has been picked up by the wires in Britain, actually. It's called Karonophobia, and it's people who have a fear of the name Karen. The notion that actually, I mean, as I said, I cited Karen Allen, I cited lots of sort of Karen lines from that point of view. In terms of, obviously, your own impact for the whole thing, is it a case of, as a writer, you dig deep down into your own psychology and actually find out what you're most scared about? Or do you actually, you know, kind of surf the web or look at the various other things and think, I think this could be really quite scary?
It's really both. I mean, you know, this was initially inspired by a headline about a reindeer carcass in Siberia that thawed in the
Russia again, obviously.
Yeah, back to Russia again. And the Russians actually do figure prominently into the story, and they do meddle with the process of finding a vaccine in the story as well. But there's that. But also, one thing I'm very open about, especially with my readers, is the fact that I have obsessive compulsive disorder. And so that's something that I actually gave to my main character, Winter Roth, as she's dealing with this disease and trying to live life on the outside. And so, you know, there's certainly a certain amount of writing from personal experience as well.
You and David Beckham, both OCD challenges. So.
Oh, does he? Oh, really? I didn't know.
He has to have his shoes lined up in a proper way, so I've been told. So very critical. I don't know how Victoria's coped, but never mind.
We all have our things.
Exactly. Robin, thoughts of yourself?
Actually, who these days doesn't have OCD?
With all the hand washing.
DVDs and magazines and everything needs to be in its right place. Otherwise people will die.
That's right. If somebody came and messed all that stuff up, somebody would end up having to die, I'm sure.
Right?
Right, yes.
Okay, one of the questions I've got is, okay, your is this duology going to become a trilogy? And if you look in your crystal ball, what should I be avoiding next year to stay alive?
Yeah, this is important, you know. We need to have Tosca's thoughts on this thing. Clearly.
Unfortunately, my crystal ball is broken. So unfortunately, I'm not sure. We are only planning on the two books for now, but these two books are in development as well. It's been a little bit stalled because it's kind of one of those, you know, situations of too soon. Nobody wants to hear about this right now, let alone have a TV series about it. So, but if it does move forward in the future, and if there is some demand for another book, I'm certainly open to writing another one. I so enjoyed the character of Winter Roth that I really missed her when it was over, and I was sad to let her go.
Well, the line between has been optioned, as we've already mentioned, by Radar Pictures. It's in development for TV, I believe.
Yes. Yep.
Now, how much control can you, as an author, insist upon that your original story, which is essentially your baby, isn't sort of warped out of recognition to fit, say, a prime time audience? I mean,
for instance, if Melania Trump was up for the role of Winter, I mean, that might be a bit of a challenge, I would have thought, really, in casting alone, really.
Yeah, well, you know, the amount of control I can insist upon, pretty much none, but our team is really fantastic, and we have a fabulous writer. He wrote for The Strain. He's a really great TV writer. And they've been really wonderful about honoring, you know, the story. So I have great faith in our team. And this is the same team, too, that is working on the Radar Pictures is the same developing production team that's working on The Progeny as well.
So. And to be fair, Tosca, let's face it, the huge successes of J.K. Rowling and others, they are adaptations which are faithful to the source material. So I would have thought, actually, to take the source material and then completely repackage the whole thing seems crazy. But then again,
it's a little watered down.
Of Kubrick and The Shining and Stephen King, because he was never satisfied with that. And I was just hoping that the same thing doesn't happen, of course, to Tosca.
Yeah, it's hard to know. It's hard to control because you have so many people speaking into the process at that point.
Well, Tosca, talking about questions which we didn't ask you first time around, but I think actually I was intrigued by this last time. Is it absolutely true that you were named, obviously, by your parents after the opera?
Yes, absolutely. My dad had a love affair with Maria Callas that she was not aware of. And she, of course, was well known for playing the part of Tosca, and my dad loved opera, so yeah.
And because I mean, I think the tragedy of that was, did he ever actually manage to see the opera Tosca?
Oh yeah, he has seen it many times, not with Maria Callas, right. But yeah, many times. So
I mean,
yeah.
Obviously there are a number of potential sort of names that come out of operas that could have actually been utilized. So in a sense,
absolutely. He happens to love that one. I was supposed to be a David, but then I was born, and surprise, I wasn't. So Tosca, it was.
I mean, Carmen, I would have thought would have been a possibility, but you know, that's another line. And
so Aida.
Yeah, that's
Mikado.
Right.
Mikado. Yeah, right. Maybe not Mikado.
Yeah,
you know, the benefit here is you've got such a memorable name that you didn't need to change it in any way for a pen name, because there can surely be only one Tosca Lee.
I haven't met any other Tosca Lees, but I know there are some out there. I have met other Toscas, which is really weird. I've met probably about 3 in my life so far.
And obviously, Toscas, I will say this sort of quite frequently, I'm mildly surprised that you weren't selected by Joe Biden to be his running mate for the presidency, but I suppose Kamala Harris will obviously take that mantle and lead on to that side. In terms of, say, the citizens of Nebraska, do you sometimes despair at world leadership, not only sort of presidential leadership, or is it a case of, well, you know, what the hey, he's just making one or two issues here, and, you know, we like a bit of entertainment, or is it a case of actually, in the words of the candidates, the world does need leaders who will lead and inspire?
Mm-hmm. I think these days it's kind of a, you know, we're all kind of looking at world events and headlines, you know, these days and thinking seriously. And, you know, it's just, I'm 50 years old now, so I don't know.
I would have been 30 at least.
No, well, I'm 50, but, you know, so I don't know if, it feels to me that this is such a strange time, and certainly that this has to be precedented somehow, but you know, for me in my lifetime, I can't imagine such a weird time as this.
I think our entire generation will be impacted by this, because it's something which, as I said, I mean, initially at the start of it, I was thinking, you know, it could have been much more challenging if you were in New York, because New York obviously started the century with 9/11. They had the Wall Street financial crash, the Lehman Brothers. Now, of course, they've had COVID-19 and so on. So there is that line. Of course, there is the other cosmology theory, Tosca, that actually every writer is writing fact. It's just that our fact happens to be somebody else's fiction, and somebody else's fiction is our fact. So it shows the power of the pen. Or the digits on the keyboard, Tosca. The line that in some way we're all sort of echoing in that, which philosophically we could go on to talk about at length from that point of view. Thankfully we won't. A single light, and of course the line between available on all online platforms. Something I was talking about with Robin just before we actually started was the physicality of a book. I mean, I must admit, over the last 2 or 3 years, I've become quite addicted to, well, not addicted, but quite full of sort of positivity for these wonderful devices, which you can download all sorts of things, including a single light, which is very important.
Yay!
Absolutely. Do you have any preference in terms of how people actually consume your text, or do you prefer, do you actually say, yeah, go and get the hardback copy now? What's the thought?
You know, I'm honored and happy anytime anybody consumes one of my stories in any form. And I'm also really, really fortunate to have had some wonderful narrators narrating the audiobook versions as well. And that really can make or break an audiobook. We have the very talented Cassandra Campbell, who did Bird Box and Where the Crawdads Sing, do these last two books, and also Firstborn, the sequel to The Progeny as well. So it's weird, because I never read my own stuff when it comes out, but I admit to listening to it, because the narrators are so fabulous, it almost makes it seem like a brand new story to me. And so it's kind of fun to hear how they you know, the inflection of the sentences and their take on it.
It's being a co-creator in the universe that we live, Tosca.
Absolutely.
Robin, any thoughts from yourself? Any closing thoughts?
Well, I'm just looking at your bio here, and it says you're a lifelong world adventure traveler. I mean, so as well as a best-selling author, there's a bit of the Lara Croft about you as well.
Well,
tell me about that.
You know, I love doing, I love traveling. And that's one thing that's really wearing on me right now with this current situation, not being able to travel. I was fortunate enough to travel to your country many times and also to study there. I've had a lot of kind of fun, unusual adventures. I've fished for piranha in the Amazon River before. That's something I took my mother with me to do.
It's the reverse, isn't it? Don't piranha fish for human beings?
Well, it's whoever fishes first, I think, or whoever catches you first. And I have to say, they're very delicious if you eat them. They're really wonderful. Yeah, piranhas are actually really delicious.
So are you saying, Tosca, that actually we should actually be suggesting to some of the local hotels, et cetera, who have slowly started opening up in the Eat Out campaign that we've been having in Britain, that actually piranha and chips might be a sort of line to take for future sort of taste buds?
Absolutely. Piranhas are actually kind of small, but if you fry them, they are delicious. Delicious. Put that in a little cone
piranha bites
with some chips. Yeah, piranha bites. There you go. So I love to travel. It's something I, you know, for the progeny, I was lucky enough to be able to go over to Eastern Europe and go tromp around all over and just love it.
Again, so proving that Nebraska is not the Siberia of the United States of America, you see.
No.
That's what it's at.
Except in the dead of winter, it can be quite cold. That's true.
Well, I know at the end of the last sort of sequence, Tosca, we were talking about you coming back to Britain. And you said you missed the British Isles, etc. That sadly hasn't manifested, etc. We miss you, obviously.
Thank you. Yes, I cannot wait until the day that I can come back again.
Well, this is good because we've got two final critical questions for you, and I think I'm going to ask Robin to throw them at you from his base in Wales, which in many ways is like the Nebraska of the United Kingdom, I've heard.
Love Wales. Yeah, yeah, absolutely love Wales.
Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoom contact with us today?
Oh, yes. I've had a wonderful, interesting Zoom contact with you today.
Yes. And the next critical question is...
Will you subject yourself to another Zoom contact with us in the near
future? I can't wait. Tosca, I'm ready tomorrow.
Tosca Lee will return. You can obviously get... Actually, finally, Tosca, just a quick plug for where people can find you. It's relatively straightforward. ToscaLee.com, presumably the best place to go to find out further details.
Absolutely.